the best decision is the one that aligns with your values, your goals, and your family's needs, regardless of what anyone else thinks.
Are you a rural farming woman, wife, or mother struggling to find peace in your busy life? Do you find yourself trying to squeeze joy out of your daily routine, manage stress that seems never-ending, and somehow reconnect with your passions in the midst of it all? Do you love your rural life, yet often feel overwhelmed by the challenges it brings? Welcome to Cultivate Contentment, the podcast designed just for you. I'm Jessica Knight, a fellow rural woman, wife, and mother, and I get it. I've been there. Right there in the trenches, juggling the demands of farm life, motherhood, and carving out moments to take care of myself. Come along with me and my guests as we explore balancing farm life with personal needs on a realistic level. Practical ways to sprinkle a little joy and peace into your daily routine, nurturing relationships without losing your sense of self, and how to keep stress at bay and prevent burnout, all while staying focused on what we really want, feeling content and settled in our lives. So whether you're savouring a cup of coffee before the morning chaos begins, stealing a moment of quiet on your drive to town, or popping in your earbuds while wrestling with laundry and dishes, I invite you to join me. Let's laugh, learn, and cultivate contentment together.
Hello, and welcome back for another episode of Cultivate Contentment. As always, this is Jess, and today we're talking about decisions because, oh my, has it been a week of decisions. And it really got me thinking about how many decisions we make in a day and the reality that there's decisions big and small and they're just a constant part of life. But I feel that for us rural farming women who are juggling multiple roles, there are just so many decisions. You can get stuck in this paralysis of just being so overwhelmed by the amount of decisions that you make in a day. Have you ever found yourself just standing in the middle of the kitchen or the lounge room or anywhere in your house and just trying to figure out what's next? What am I going to make for dinner? Am I going to put another load of laundry on? Do I need to go outside and get some jobs done? Is there something that I forgot to book? And it's like every small decision feels huge. So today I want to talk about how to make confident choices when every decision feels like it's this big weight and that it comes at the cost of something else. We've had a big, long week. I've had a sick child, and it's the making so many decisions when your child is sick, but also knowing that every decision you make comes at the cost of something else. I knew that last week when he came down ill that I would have to be in the house looking after him every day. But in the back of my mind, all I could think about, there's calves that need to be fed. And then we had sick calves, which adds to the work. And it's hard to make these decisions when every decision feels like a trade-off. So we're all trying to find this elusive balance in life. And I don't think that balance exists, but every choice that I feel we make is trying to find this balance or this place where we feel content with our lives, but we're feeling so overwhelmed by all the choices and all the things that we've got to make decisions about to get to that place. This episode's for you, the rural women, farm wives, mums who have a lot on their plates, and if you're feeling like every decision you make has a ripple effect. So this episode is for you. This episode's going to make you feel seen. It's going to make you feel heard. The aim is to give you some tips and strategies to make decisions confidently, balance your priorities, maybe feel a little more at peace with the decisions that you make. So let's dive into everything. If you're finding value in these conversations, I'd love for you to leave a rating and review. Not only does it help us reach more women who need this content, but it also helps create a sense of community among us. If you are finding value, take a screenshot, share this episode in your stories or on your socials, or even just with a friend who you think might find it interesting too. Decision fatigue, and I think that is definitely what it is, it's fatigue. It affects rural women so much, particularly when we're managing both family and farm. Many decisions may seem small, but you add up all those little decisions that we make in a day, and by the end of the day, we're exhausted. We're overwhelmed, and we are just, if we are asked to make one single more decision, we are going to break. And it's just all of these little decisions. It's what to have for dinner. It's deciding which farm task needs to be done first today. It's deciding if we can make it to the kids' school concert and it's a busy harvest or calving season. Every day is filled with hundreds of decisions. And sometimes it feels like just choosing what's for dinner can tip the scale. And when you're constantly making choices for your family, your farm, your business, the weight of it all can be overwhelming. Now, in the last week, I have really not done much physical work. I haven't been out on the farm. I haven't even been doing much housework or cooking dinners or anything like that. But I have made so many decisions and I am exhausted. Like, the mental exhaustion that I feel is just total. Like, when you feel so exhausted that when you lie down to sleep, the room starts to spin. And I remember feeling like this in the early days of motherhood when I had newborns and was just so utterly sleep deprived. I used to feel like this, but I haven't in quite a while. And so this week has just been like, I am done. I am so, so done. So I apologize if I sound a little flat today, because there is a lot of yawning going in that I'm going to be editing out, because that's the point I am at. This last week, my son started to have stomach pains. And this started on Saturday. And, you know, kids get stomach pains. It's part of the process of having kids. And so we just went along with it. Yeah, a little bit of tummy pain, nothing to worry about. And then by Tuesday, he was like really in pain. That's when the first decision came in. Do I keep him home from school? Do I send him to school? Is he unwell enough to stay home from school? There are so many layers that go into the decisions you make when your kids are sick. Does he need to go to the doctor? Does he just need a day at home to rest? And then remembering to fill in the little app for school to say he's not going to be there, checking off all the boxes in the app that you need to do. And then keeping track of pain medication at home. Does he need more now? Can I hold off giving it to him for a little bit? Am I giving it in the right increments of time so that he's still going to be able to have doses throughout the night if he needs them? Should I give him something to eat? Does he need electrolytes? Then when we actually go to the doctor, it's, do I get him dressed? How long are we going to be waiting there for? Do I say, can we sit out in the car while we wait? And then it just keeps going. The amount of decisions that have to be made when you have a sick child is just phenomenal. For some context here, how many decisions do you think the average person makes in the day? The statistic is that an average adult makes around 35,000 decisions a day. And as a rural mum who is then making decisions for three children, a business, and then my husband coming in and asking other questions that I have to make decisions about, I cannot even begin to imagine the number of decisions that I make in a day. And so from here, we kept going. We had blood tests done. And so then there's the decision of, do we get them done in my small local town? Or do we go to the town over where they can be done at the hospital where I know they have the smaller needles, which aren't going to hurt him as much? And then do we go to the chemist and get the numbing patches to go on his arms so that it doesn't hurt? And then we're going home and I'm like, well, do you want something to eat? Do we stop and get you some food? Is it okay to give him junk food while he's sick? If, you know, he's going to eat it, is that a sign that he's not really sick? Because I did have a doctor tell me once, if your child will eat chocolate, then you're okay. They're not that sick. And so we then went into the next day and the advice given from the GP was if his pain gets unmanageable, take him to the hospital. And well, by the next afternoon, he was screaming in pain. And that is the worst thing that you can experience as a parent, is having your child in pain and not being able to make it better. And so we go to the hospital, and I think this is probably timely of my last episode about our medical system. And we sat there for 5 hours. They were busy. There was a lot going on. There was a lot of ambulances coming in. And they tried to find the blood test results that we had done at the hospital the day before. Three different times I was told that he would get pain medication, and it never came. And so I had to keep going and reminding them and asking again, and it never came. And so after 5 hours, they finally found his blood test results and said they were fine. He doesn't have appendicitis, which was the main concern. Go home, manage his pain, follow up with your GP. And so I've got a kid who went in there with a pain rating of 8 and left with a pain rating of 8, still without getting any pain relief. And so as a parent at this point, I'm like, what do I do? What choice do I have? What decision can I make? And I tried to push for further tests to be done, but the doctor I saw was not having it. She said, it's not appendicitis. It's not life-threatening. He can go home. And so we went home and we booked another appointment with the GP the next day because he was still in pain. We got a lovely GP the next day, one I haven't seen before, and she was wonderful. And so she booked in more blood tests and an ultrasound. And so we went through the whole process again of driving to the next town over and getting the blood tests and getting the ultrasound. And then just waiting with a kid still in pain. We did get appendicitis ruled out at the ultrasound, which was wonderful. Great to know that that's not it. And, you know, his appendix isn't going to burst at some point. But it did show some anomalies and that. So we were back to the doctor again, where we're told, yeah, there's some anomalies with his blood tests as well. So you'll need to see a specialist. This isn't a GP problem. And so then my decision-making process goes into overdrive again because they're like, well, if his pain gets really, really bad again, take him to the hospital. And I'm like, I don't know. They're meant to be the experts, but no one's really telling me what I'm meant to do. I'm left to make the decisions. And when you are sleep-deprived and your child is ill and you are just so overwhelmed, how do you make the best choice in that moment? Where we're at now is waiting to see a specialist in Melbourne next week. And that's the decision that we went with. But it just felt like a week where whatever decision I made wasn't going to be right, or it was going to be wrong, or it wasn't going to be fully effective, and it wasn't going to achieve what I wanted. And it was just draining to make decision after decision. And I know that any parent of a sick child knows what I'm talking about. It all comes down to just this constant challenge of balancing the immediate needs of your family with the long-term productivity or goals or however you want your life to look. But in the moment where you are just making all of these choices, oh, it's a lot. And each choice can feel like a sacrifice for another area of your life, and making the decision becomes more like a burden than an opportunity. And every decision comes at the cost of something else. So this week I made the choice to stay with my son and be with him while he was sick, but it came at the cost of the farm and being there to help look after the calves and then
knowing that that work had been placed onto someone else. I know that many rural women feel torn between family and farm duties and how every decision they make is aimed at how do I do both? How do I identify my priorities? How do I decide which thing to do in this moment? And it's easy to feel pulled in every direction. Your kids need you, the farm needs you, and somehow you've got to find time for yourself in all of it. But what truly matters right now in this moment? It's important to step back and remind yourself of the bigger picture and what's your core focus today. What I usually do when making decisions each day is that I narrow it down to my top three priorities. And I know this is something a lot of people do. I have a new little notebook on my desk, which has the days of the week, and I line up my week with all of my top three priorities. And by doing this, it becomes easier to eliminate the unnecessary choices and focus on what's most important. It's helped me simplify the decision-making process. So each day I pick these three main priorities, whether that's spending time with the kids or tackling a farm task or having a little time for myself. And that way I don't feel too overwhelmed by trying to do everything at once. But then, like this last week, it's realizing that some days even attempting three things is too much. Some days it's just going to be one thing. Knowing my values and my priorities makes it easier to decide what that one thing is going to be. The thing is, it's normal. The idea that trade-offs are a part of life. It's okay if certain tasks, whether it's on the farm or at home, don't get done immediately. Not everything has to be a priority all at once. And that's perfectly fine because that's what my week looked like. You know, my week last week was my son was my priority for the week. And there were very few cooked dinners last week. There was no washing done. There was no housework done. And I got no farm work done either. But that's just the way that the week went. I've learned to accept that not everything can be done as you would like it. That's okay. And that laundry's going to pile up, or the farm task might get pushed to next week if it's non-urgent, or someone else is going to have to pick it up. But what's most important is that I'm focusing on the thing that needs to be done today. The thing is that in the moment, it's really hard to feel confident in your choices. And I know that trusting your gut is something that I've had to, I guess, retrain myself to do. I feel like I used to make decisions with my gut a lot more often and a lot more easily. And these days, so much thinking is going on in my brain. And I think back to how I just went through every single little decision that I made and every little thought that went through my head when my son was sick. And I go, my God, I am still an overthinker. I will analyze and look at every possibility and every little thing that could happen. And yes, I am still an overthinker, but I am trying to go with my gut more because even if the outcomes aren't perfect, the decision made in the moment is often the right one based on the circumstances. As farm wives and mums, we're constantly making decisions on the fly, whether that's a split second choice in the field or figuring out a family situation. Trust yourself. You are more capable than you think. And mums know best. If you have this feeling in your gut as a mum that something is not right with your kids, trust that feeling. Because if I had just let that doctor send me home last week and not pushed to get more tests, then we wouldn't know that there is actually something that needs to be explored more. But my gut said to me, no, this isn't right. He is in pain and I have this feeling that it's something more. When did we stop trusting our gut? When did we stop listening to our instincts? And I think this comes back to that we're told that the experts know best. There are so many parenting books There are so many experts. We are told to go to the doctor when our kids are sick and listen to what the doctor says and not have an opinion. And this just doesn't work for me anymore because a lot of the time, mum knows best. So trust that mum gut because I think at least 9 times out of 10, it is right. And so this leads into that when we're making these decisions, big or small, it's really easy to feel pulled in different directions by outside influences, whether that is family expectations or community norms or the constant comparison trap of social media. This external noise can make it really hard to feel confident in your decisions. It's about figuring out how to quiet the noise so you can make your decisions with confidence. The 4 things that I think are so important when making decisions and trusting our gut is to filter out the opinions that don't align with your values. Not every voice needs to have a say in your decisions. Ask yourself, does this person truly understand my situation? Do they share my priorities? If not, their opinion doesn't need to hold weight. Second is to trust your own experience. You're the one living your reality every day. You see what works for your family, what keeps things running smoothly, what feels right in your gut. You need to give yourself permission to trust that. Third is decide what's actually important to you. It's easy to get caught up in what others think is best, but what matters is what works for you. What priorities do you want to focus on? What trade-offs are you willing to make? Lastly is setting boundaries around external input. It's okay to limit how much outside influence you allow into your decision-making, whether that means stepping away from social media when you're feeling unsure or politely shutting down unsolicited advice, whether it comes from friends or family or just someone that you see in your small town. Protecting your mental space is key. At the end of the day, no one else is living your life. The best decision is the one that aligns with your values, your goals, and your family's needs, regardless of what anyone else thinks. It's easy to fall into the trap of comparing yourselves to others or feeling the weight of other people's expectations. Here's the thing, no one knows your life like you do. You have to make the decisions that are best for you and your family, not anyone else. Now, if you're like me, you will make a decision and then you'll go down that rabbit hole of second-guessing yourself, especially when things don't go as planned or when outside opinions start creeping in. But questioning every choice you've made, there is no faster way to drain your energy and your confidence. So instead, you need strategies to stand firm in your decisions and move forward with certainty. A few practical ways to affirm your choices is write down your reasons. When you've made a big decision and it's one where you are like really umming and ahhing and going, oh, is this the right thing? What am I doing? Write it down. Write down why you chose it. Keep it in the notes on your phone or in a journal somewhere. And when doubt creeps in, you go back and remind yourself of the logic behind your choice. If it's a decision you made to make a change in life for a reason and you're unsure if the decision was right, look at the results. Did it make your life easier? Did it align with your priorities? And can you see tangible proof that this decision has worked well for you and your family? Is it helping you to build confidence for future choices? If you're really stuck in making future choices, decisions that are going to have a big effect, use a decision filter. A simple set of criteria to check against before making decisions. And so this is really simple sort of questions like, does it align with your family's needs? Will this reduce stress? Does it fit with our long-term goals? Can I commit to the time that I need to do this? Or will this give us more time back? Does it help everyone in our family? Or does it help with my mental capacity? When a choice meets certain criteria, you can trust that it was a solid decision. Having this sort of set of questions that you can check off as you're making a decision will make it so much easier. Now, for those decisions that you've got to make in the moment, like the week that I have had, these won't necessarily work. These are more for those big decisions that you sit down and have time to think about. The decisions on the fly is if you have a partner who you can discuss things with, don't hesitate to call them. Like when I was sitting at the hospital and I didn't know what to do, I was messaging Steve and going, what do you think? Because when it comes down to it, we are a team in the decisions that we make about our kids' health. And so having that other person there to offer a viewpoint and knowing that that person has the same values and priorities as me can make it a lot easier to feel confident in your choices. Also, I think this is where it just comes back to your gut. You can listen to your gut about how you are feeling in a situation and take a breath and just go, what's the first thought that pops into my mind? Because often that first thought, it's the right one. It's the second guessing yourself to go back and say, oh, well, what about this or what about that? When really you already know what the best choice is to make. At the end of the day, remind yourself, you made the best decision you could with the information you had. You don't need to justify it to anyone, least of all yourself. So I want you to reflect on a recent decision that maybe felt heavy and identify what guided that choice. Did you use your instincts? Did you go with your gut feeling? Did you use any of the other strategies that I gave you? How do you go about feeling confident in the choices that you're making every day? Take a moment to reflect on a decision that felt really overwhelming. What guided you to make that choice? How did you trust yourself in the moment? Remember that every day is full of decisions, big and small, but the most important one is trusting yourself in the process. Thank you for joining me to listen to my week of decisions that had to be made. I'd love to know if you listen to your gut when you're making decisions, or if you are an overthinker about decisions and want to change that and start to be more instinctive in the way you make your decisions, please reach out. Let me know. I would love to hear about it. Remember, cultivating contentment means making the best choices you can with what you have right here, right now.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Cultivate Contentment. I hope you found inspiration and practical tips to help you on your journey towards a more contented life. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing or following the podcast on your favorite platform. And don't forget to leave a review to let me know your thoughts. For more content and community support, be sure to follow on Instagram at Grounded Farm Wife. Remember, you're not alone in this journey. Together, we can continue to cultivate contentment in our lives. Until next time, take care and stay grounded.